So we're having a little chat with Glenn from Future Funk Squad about the new album Unified Forms, which Are we've we? Been...
Where is he? Oh, well, yes, I'm here. There. Hello. I am. I never know with this technology. You don't know when it's on or off. Or,
no, it's my first time doing this. It's all a bit weird, isn't it?
It is, but it's comfortable. I mean, you know, I'm in my house. I've got my beer.
What else do you need?
And nothing.
I was thinking earlier, actually, you know, we're in a lockdown. It's
yes.
For those that are listening in the future, we're still in the lockdown. We probably would have done this anyway, because I'm in Devon and you're in Bournemouth. So, you know, we wouldn't have been getting together anyway.
No, I mean, who wants to drive anywhere these days, you know? I hate flying anyway, so yeah. It's great. This whole new world's amazing.
Yeah.
No? Well, I mean, listen, musicians, it's just nothing's changed. You know, they sit in their studio and they go home, and they sit in the studio or they go home. It's not... You know, it's not really that much different, is it? But for that people who have point. Jobs out and about, then obviously it's a bit weird. But
do you think you've been any more or less prolific production wise during the lockdown?
Initially, last year it was when it first started. There was this sort of weird sense of I don't want to do anything. I think everyone had that, wasn't it? You know what I mean? Stay at home. And then, okay, that means eat and drink and don't do anything.
Yeah, but then after did some of that myself.
Yeah, but after about 3 weeks of that, it was like, okay, I want to make more music now. So then, yeah, that's how the album started, really. Do you know what I mean? It kind of kicked it in a gear. It had started before that, but then the whole, you know, sitting around twiddling my thumbs was like, okay, it's a good opportunity, so...
Yeah, absolutely. Did you go into it thinking, right, I'm going to sit and write an album now, or was it just a case of making tracks and you started to think that, well, it sounds like it might be the beginnings of an album?
Well, I've been thinking about that a lot recently with this whole new streaming thing, you know, of just releasing tracks, and it is the way to go. However, I'm still a bit old school and I still like to visualise a concept in my head, so I need that sort of end goal, do you know what I mean? Otherwise, yeah. I find it hard to get there. And it's okay if you're just releasing tracks and then you have a body of work at the end, but to me that can be quite random, and it might not all gel together. Then it's more like a, now that's what I call breakbeat collection, you know, as opposed to an album in a way. I think it would come out a bit like that. So yeah, I definitely had a theme and an idea, you know. So
was it? Yeah, am I right in thinking the first track you finished for it was Three Dimensions?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what kind of kicked off the whole unified thing, because obviously I hadn't worked with vocalists for a while. Darker Days didn't have any. And, well, it had Rob, didn't it? It had Rat Race, one random track with a vocal on, and the rest was all cinematic darkness. Kieran Pepper, who was the drummer in The Prodigy, I was having a chat with him, and he said, I know this really good rapper, because I said I want to find an American rapper, you know, and he said, well, he lives here but he's from Texas, and yeah, just hooked me up, and I sent some random thing I did years ago to him, and then he sent he did the vocal to Three Dimensions, and I thought the vocal's so good, I'll have to ditch the music and just rebuilt it all around his vocal. And yeah, I really, really love that track. Really kicked it all off nicely.
Yeah, I remember you, I think you might have sent me a rough demo of that ages ago. And I just remember thinking how incredible that, well, obviously I'm a fan of your production anyway, but how incredible his vocals are. His flow and everything is so what's the word I'm looking for? It's so rhythmical and staccato. It just fits in and around, especially breakbeat music, you know, just so incredibly well.
Yeah, and I think the music actually, like I said, the track that he did it to, didn't quite gel, but I could hear his flow. So I actually, that's why the bass, the sort of thing, made more sense to fit with his vocal. So, you know, yeah, he's brilliant. He's really good, very talented.
Still, in the rhyme. And if I gotta die for this, I'm going out with love. An army of angels swarm from above. That's another day. And what a brother say, I only cover ways to uncover grace. Let no man put us under till the day we uproot on us. Set no plans for a plunder with the source of the thunder. If you ever provide the message, seeds in the same zone, deep within the textures, testing the threshold, mesh with the tempo. Why so taste so out of mind and let go?
Was that the sort of catalyst for you wanting to have more vocals on the album, or was it, was there ever a chance that that was just going to be like a bit like Rat Race, where it was just going to be one in the in a, you know, an album, a collection of other instrumental tracks?
It was, yeah, actually. And then I got introduced to Omega Sparks, and again I sent him Delete, actually, and the vocal on Warpath was originally over Delete, and then I deleted Delete and then rebuilt a track around that. That's the kind of way I work, I guess, coming from a remix background, you know, where you've just got a vocal and then you build the whole thing around it. So it was fun, and and then we did that, and then Stu sent me this other thing, which was Belly and the Beast, and that just, yeah, came up, worked really well. And then we did one more with all of it. I just thought, let's get them all together. Do you know what I mean? Get them both on the track and really sort of kick it up a gear.
That's quite a collection of people collaborating on that particular track, because you've also obviously collaborated with Scott from Crystal Method on that one as well, as well as Lockdown, which has been a huge tune on Cut's Choice Radio, especially A lot of the DJs are playing lockdown. But what was the sort of process there? How did you and Scott sort of work remotely on that one?
Well, that was actually it started as a track for his new album, which after the trip home, the one I co-produced, it was going to be for that. And then, but then he, for some reason, he never sort of came back to it. And I, Omega Spark said, "Have you got something?" And I said, "Well, I've got this thing that I've been doing with the Crystal Method," and I sent it, and he loved it, and he did his thing straight away. And it was wicked. And then I just sort of built that up a bit more. And then I just thought, you know, let's get Stu on it. And yeah, and it worked really well. And Scott had a little play around after. And yeah, he loves it. Oddly enough, I think it kind of came out a little bit more Crystal Method sounding in a way. Do you know what I mean? Which and that was even, you know, even the sort of production I did, it just kind of flowed that way. Yeah, we're all really proud of that one for sure.
Tell me a little bit about, obviously you co-produced or did significant amounts of work on The Trip Home, the Crystal Method album. How was that? Was that, because obviously that was the first time you worked with Scott, was it?
Yeah, first time I'd worked with him. I know them really well, and I've known them for many years. You know, I played on their radio show back in, I can't remember, 2006 or something. You know, I went over to LA on one of my annual trips that I would do, and they invited me on. And then I think it was back in 2016 I was over there, and I thought, I'm going to pop by their studio and say hello. And I messaged their assistant, and they said, "Oh, well, Ken's gone. He's retired." And I was like, "Oh, okay. I'll go and see Scott then. But Scott would love to see you." So I went round. And he'd just been in a bit of a, you know, a bit of a low point in that he wasn't sure what he was going to do, you know, and then he just played me loads of tracks, loads of demos and ideas, and literally probably, and then we went down the pub. There's a pub right near his studio called the Idle Hour, a really cool pub, really nice, you know, pints, ales and stuff. And we just sat there, had a few beers. And then probably within the space of like 3 hours, we decided I was going to co-produce the album. And it was a case of just going through stuff. And we get on really, really well. You know, we're very similar sort of people. And in the studio, we're both very hands-on. And although the way we work there is I have a little side room and he does his stuff in his main room and feeds me things. And then I go in there and we swap. You know, it's really good, really good fun. Yeah, really proud of that album. I think you should play the whole album back from start to finish. No? Okay.
Yeah, we'll just do that.
Yeah, there you go. Forget mine. Who needs my album? No, but it's awesome and he's really cool and yeah, lots of fun.
I think it's a nice thing that obviously you went out and worked on his album with him, and then, you know, he's kind of repaid the favour by, you know, sort of collaborating on the tunes on yours. It's that nice little you know, reciprocal kind of
yes,
kind of thing. It's nice.
Yeah, because Lockdown started as a track, and then it was just something I was working on, and then I sent it to him, and he did those amazing little synth bits that come in every now and then. You know, very Crystal Method-y. And it just really added that icing on the cake for me, you know. So it was a great, great collab, that one.
What about some of the other collabs on the album? You obviously got some of your new label mates involved as well, which is really nice to see. Tell me about working with those guys.
Well, Unearthed is actually a project that I'm doing as well with my friend Frankie, who's based in Australia. G'day, mate. And we're doing this kind of ravey breaks vocal project called Unearthed. And then we just sort of had this track that we couldn't get a vocal to fit on. So we just toughened it up a bit, do you know what I mean? And it really fit with the album. It just works really well. And I played that on the Global Breaks thing earlier today, and it seemed to go down a storm.
Sounded really good. I was listening while I was doing a bit of baking, and
nice.
Yeah, no, sounded really good.
Wicked, yeah. It was that's a banger, that. And then obviously I wanted to put Delete on the album, but it's been around for quite a while. And although I really like the original, I wanted something fresh on there, you know. So he does a thing called Our Empire, and so he did like a little take on that. Do you know what I mean? It's like got quite a lot of his influence in there, and I think it fits really nicely on the album.
I mean, the bits and pieces that I've heard, you know, previously, to it being finished, have all been, you know, certainly sounding like they're going in the right direction, and certainly sounding quite like there's a definite sort of sound that or a vibe, I guess, that flows nicely through the whole album without it all sounding the same. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's definitely kind of an attitude. Do you think there's any particular influences from your side on the album as a whole?
Yeah, there was sort of a conscious effort. I dug out the old Amiga. I got that, and I put a lot of the beats through that, and a lot of the old breaks are resampled on the Amiga, which kind of gave them all a crunch. And I kind of wanted it to be very breakbeat, as in an actual breakbeat led, you know, the whole thing. Mm. That's kind of why, like, oddly enough, Profit Margin, when that first started, it was very punchy kick and snare, and it was great, but I needed to get a crunchy beat in there. I use the old Naughty by Nature break, you know, hip hop, was it Hip Hop Hooray? That was it, wasn't it? What's that called? What was it? OPP? I can't
OPP,
remember now.
OPP, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was... or the break they used anyway, and that just crunched that up and slapped that in there, and it works really well. But yeah, that's a conscious thread throughout it, just to have a really solid break beat in there, you know.
Was there anything musically that you think you were listening to throughout the process of this album that you think might have influenced you, or...?
Not really, no. I mean, I think I don't tend to listen to things, you know, and when I'm making, or I'm in the middle of making something, I won't listen to other stuff, you know. Some people might be like, oh, well, how are you going to stay current or whatever if you don't? But it's like, I kind of prefer not to, you know. I just want to get the ideas I've got out, and there's loads of influence in there, obviously. You can hear, like, something like Three Dimensions, to me, is a bit like Bug Powder Dust, you know, Bomb the Bass. It's kind of got that kind of, they're all kind of retro-y vibes, but they're sort of old tracks that I love, and wanted to kind of, you know, try and incorporate that in a way. So
from listening to the bits and pieces that I have and the stuff that we've played on the show, it definitely feels like there's slightly more, or there's a nice balance there between, because obviously you've been working a lot in sort of more sync stuff, TV and film scores and that kind of thing. There's a slight more drive back towards the dance floor on this album, whilst also having a healthy element that, you know, any of these could be used in a game trailer or that kind of thing. Do you think that was a conscious thing to sort of go slightly more back to the dance floor?
Yeah, definitely. Because I was about to do Darker Days 2, and then I just thought, I want to do some bangers. And it's a bit of a weird time, because obviously when I thought about doing a load of bangers and doing a load of gigs, the lockdown happened, you know, yeah. And then the whole thing fell on its ass. So it was a bit odd, but I still think, you know, obviously now there's thousands of DJs streaming and doing their sets online and whatnot. So it's a great time, I think, to still make dance music, you know, and so I just went with that, and I wanted to make this more of a banger, you know, and Darker Days 2 is next up, so you heard it here first. Yeah, exclusive.
You mentioned there the streaming thing. So you've obviously dipped your toe into the world of live streaming and that kind of thing, but throughout the past year, since we've been locked down for the majority of it, would you say the focus has more been on producing rather than playing?
Yeah. I think everyone in the beginning went a bit mad, didn't they? You know, and I went out and got one of those Pioneer things, because I hadn't had a DJ setup at home for 15 years probably, do you know what I mean? So it's a bit weird that I just went and got one, but I was having a lot of fun with it, and obviously you could tell initially. Yeah. I did a couple of Facebook lives and that, but then I just sort of thought, I'm not too sure, unless I can bring something a bit more unique to it, you know, without putting my pants on my head, and that wouldn't be that unique, and it'd be a bit scary. But you know, it just felt like, no, I don't know, it's not really. But I like the Global Breaks thing I just did. That was fun, you know, because I'm quite into the whole visual thing. And I think I'm going to get, I mean, obviously I just played the lockdown video in the background on that, because that's all I could find literally 10 minutes before I went on. I thought, oh, I can chuck a video in the background. That's cool. So I did that. And I'm going to get the guy who did that to do like an hour's worth of footage, some really cool stuff that I can intersplice in the next thing that I do, you know. But I did actually say in that, I did actually, cause I've always wanted to play live. I mean, I've done live gigs with the singers and that over the years, but I've always wanted to do like a live sort of set with just me and the machines, you know, like the studio and that. And I kind of thought, you know, I actually thought, sod DJing, I'm going to put together a live show, play Darker Days live and get the synths running and that. But I'm too lazy. But it's a lot of work.
Maybe we'll see it one day, maybe on the 10th anniversary or something. 20th, which is only 3 years away, so.
Whoa. Yeah, that's true. Ouch. Yeah, the audio damage one came and went, didn't it?
Wow. Well, yeah, I was going to say, I was looking earlier just to double check some dates and things, and this year is 15 years since Audio Damage came out.
Is it 15 years?
Okay. Yeah, 2006.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Even though it was made and delivered to the label in 2004. But
that's another story.
Yeah, Mel, if you're listening. Yeah, no, exactly. So 15, yeah, well, you know, I actually thought of doing some things for that, but I think I'll save it for the 20th, you know. That might be more special, you know. When I get the rights back.
We reassert the ethos for those that know. Time to educate those who have not heard. No collision between the brain bass and the spoken word. DJ tried this trap on the slip mat, giving it itch to beat line, let it roll, let it go for the needle, deck to the cable, enable the speaker to fill the flow.
with the flow. Future Funk Squad, rhythm section, hyping the squadron, switching up the tempo. Ripcord, the sound wave gliding from the speaker on the dance floor. Sweeping the people that's riding the musical tide that provided a ride to the shore. Audio damage, more than the rain can manage. Incredible, there's someone level here, get savage. Shine the light, bringing the heat like a halogen. But it's a UK base from the origin. Damage is getting ripped apart. Engineer sound systems, strip it apart. Let's make it the way we're playing the UK, spitting limbic and it's zipping the arse. Smoke talking, plug in the mic and I chalk the Q-tip. Spaghetti Western outlaw stalking, take 10 paces, shoot from the hip. Bam, spray cannabis, spit from my lip, 360 degree to make them backflip. Verbal dynamical, word acrobatical, lyrical ties, they feel the sound waves. Radio damage, more than the brain can manage. Incredible, that's my level, ear gets savage. Shine the light, bringing the heat like a halogen. But there's a UK base from the origin. Damage is getting ripped apart. Engineer sound systems, strip it apart. Let's make it the way we're playing in the UK. Spitting limbic and it's zipping the arse. Carve lines into virtual stone when I set this. Eroding the cliff face, getting reckless. Juggling patterns of grammar, playing poetical Tetris. R.I.P. trust me, we get lively. Tied on the 7CURL, we raise hell. When the waves swell, never can tell. Where it starts or ends, when it begins to repel. Audio damage, a soundboy, savage and amateur. Mojo the microphone manager. I got the grammar, the lyrical stamina. Gimme the gimme, they gotta be having the mic. I'm grabbing the crowd, they gotta be loving it loud. Gather around, examine, we're jamming, we're chucking it down. Audio damage, I'm an amateur sound. Audio damage, more than the brain can manage. Incredible, that's all ever. Get savage, shine the light, bring in the heat like a halogen. But there's a UK base from the origin. Damage is getting ripped apart. Engineer sound systems, strip it apart. Let's make it the way we're playing in the UK. Spitting limbic and it's zipping the arse. Radio damage, more than the brain can manage. Incredible, that's all ever here. Get savage, shine the light, bring in the heat like a halogen. But there's a UK base from the origin. Damage is getting ripped apart. Engineer sound systems, strip it apart. Let's make it the way we're playing in the UK. Spitting limbic and it's zipping the arse. Funk Squad taking no responsibility for damage done. And we've gone.
The thing I was going to ask you was just about what else you've got going on, because I know that you've been obviously working a lot, we touched on, with film work and things like that, and you've recently had been doing some remixes of things like the Aquaman soundtrack, mm-hmm. which of course are, you know, phenomenal pieces of work. Is there a plan to go back to that? Are you still working on things like that? Are you is that where your passion is now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a few things. There's Aquaman 2 obviously in the pipeline with doing some stuff for that, for Rupert and Rupert Gregson Williams. And just before I did the album, I did a lot of stuff on Black Widow, the film. So that's wow. Going to be good when it eventually comes out.
Yeah.
But definitely. I mean, all that stuff is, I get to make crazy sounds and noises and play around with synths, you know, every day. And get paid for it, which is brilliant. Who wouldn't want to do that? So I'll be getting back to that a bit, and but then obviously it's a bit of a weird one in film land at the moment with everything going on, so that's all going to be delayed. So I think I'm just going to crack on with Darker Days 2 really. That's the next plan. I'm doing a few remixes for Universal for some I'm doing a Ghost Killer remix. It's actually going to be a Future Funk Squad mix, which is quite mad. That's going to be dropping about a month's time, I think, so on Spotify and whatnot. So yeah, there's lots of bits going on.
I think I heard a cheeky New Order remix earlier as well. Is that something that we can talk about or not?
Well, yeah, I mean, I played it because it was done for the band, and I haven't really heard a full, I haven't really got a full answer as to what's going on, so but I like it. It sounds cool.
yeah, it sounded and, good earlier.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. I mean, I've done loads of, as I've done loads of remixes that just sort of sit there and in the end I'll end up giving them away or something.
Such is the world as it is.
It is the remix world.
But I'm gonna come back to another album track. We were talking earlier about influences. There's a track on the album, I think it might be the last track on the album, that's a collab with Guao, called The Way.
I'm glad you said that. I can't pronounce his name. I end up going Guao. I just give up in the end. I feel really bad.
I may well have got it wrong anyway. So
I think you got it right. Sounds like a character from Star Wars.
Closing track on the album is called The Way. There's obviously a bit of an influence there. Yeah, is there anything you can tell us about how that track came about?
It was actually, I'll tell you a fun story about this, and this is where Zoom will cut out, is it started with D. Ramirez. So I went to the studio and we did a track together, and the sort of backbone of it, it was 100 BPM. It was really cool. It had the funk, and we just spent a day messing around. And then I sort of played around with it more and more, sped it up. And then I sent it to him and he went, I can't hear what I did. I don't know what I did. So he sort of, he goes, look, you know, just do what you want to do with it, you know. And then I started working with Guawu. And he just brought some really cool stuff to the table, you know. And obviously dropping in the Mandalorian sample, Disney Don't Sue Me. Which they probably will, which would be good promo for the album. It's just a great, as soon as you saw that scene or that heard that phrase, it's like, it's great, you know, and it just drops so well in the track. I'm actually surprised no one else has done it just yet. So hopefully the album comes out and no one else does do it until it's out, you know. But Disney, don't sue me, sue them.
It worked for Jedi Knights.
Well, exactly. It's all free promo, isn't it? Come on. I love that track. And I think on previous albums, I've kind of had this conscious thing of like doing a slightly more chilled track to end the album on. But this one, I wanted to make a bit of a banger. You know, it's still got some atmospheric chilled elements, but it does really go off. You know, and I think it's a wicked one to close the album. Yeah.
This is The Way.
And the album's out 1st of Feb, is that right?
Yep, 1st of February.
Fantastic. And pre-orders on Bandcamp now?
Yep, all the CDs have gone. I've just got the last order in earlier, so they've all gone, which is nice.
That's great. I'm glad I got my order in early.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't got any to give to any of the artists now, but they're all like, make sure I've got a couple of copies. No, I think I might have about three spare, so...
But still time to pre-order if you go pre-order the digital on futurefunksquad.bandcamp.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is. Yep, you can go and get it. And yes,
It's interesting in a world. I know you were saying earlier that you're quite old school when it comes to putting a body of work together. You know, having that goal. It also, I guess, in this day and age of everything being streaming, it's a bit of a strange one to do a physical copy as well. So I was really, me being old school as well, I was really pleased to see you do that as well. Was that a particular aim that you wanted to do, or did it just was that almost an afterthought?
All my few albums, you know, Disorders, Darker Days, and the other one that I won't talk about that I deleted. Everyone sort of said they wanted them on CD, you know. CDs did really well, better than vinyl, you know, and I guess they just want them for the collection now. It's at that point, you know, there's only a certain amount made. And it just kind of fills that little gap, you know. And I thought I'd do something a little bit special with this because I've messed everyone around with the vinyl. so I did the nice tin, you know. It's quite a sexy piece of work.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my hands on mine.
You can put your humbugs and cola cubes in it, you know. chuck a CD in the bin and just use it for sweets, you know.
Use a CD as a coaster for your beer.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's a really nice looking coaster. Trust me. that artwork took ages to get the beer placement right.
That's a good point, actually. Let's talk about the artwork, because it's a daughter of a mutual friend of ours that sort of provided the original image and the inspiration for the artwork direction on the album.
It is, yeah. All those textures in the background, obviously, like on the album itself, it's kind of mirrored. In fact, all of them are sort of mirrored and messed around with. But the actual textures all come from these canvases that our mutual friend sent me a picture and said, "Oh, my daughter's done this," and I was like, "Wow, I love that." And then, oh, she's done another one and another one. And there's a whole series of them. So I quickly bought them and I got their permission, obviously. I'll make millions and send them, you know, 20 quid. But it's, no, not really. I'm joking. I love you guys. I just sort of scanned them and messed around with them. But they've all got these interesting sort of flavours. You know, like the Plump DJ's Lockdown has got some really nice sort of pinky textures, and it's really cool though. And then I just stuck those graphics on top, and it just sort of seems to work really nicely, you know.
I love stuff like that. I love, like, when you get back in touch with people that you haven't seen for years, and all of a sudden you end up collaborating on some amazing piece of art together.
There you go. You know, they're like, well, you know, she wants to go to college and needs to get in and needs some proof. And if she can say she's done this, it will help a lot. And I'm like, sweet, you know, it's all good. I'll vouch for that. And
mutual benefit.
Exactly. Millions of people, well, not millions, let's face it, are going to see this. But, well, you never know. Millions could see it.
If this Disney get a new case, loads of people will see it.
If Disney, yeah, exactly. And they'll see me in court as well. We should leave that in. That's cool.
I mean, yeah, you know, definitely.
We'll get Disney on the phone. They'll be the head of the UK department, like, listening.
One thing you just touched on there, which I meant to ask you about, there's been some amazing remixes of the tracks on the album as well. Was that we obviously with Disorders of Skill and Darker Days, there were the two remix albums. Was that something that you're putting together for this album, or was that just something that you, a vibe that you felt, and you know, in the sort of spur of the moment, and thought, well, this person would do a great remix of this?
You're just trying to dig out all these exclusive information from me, aren't you? Going to be a reunified forms is going to be dropping in March/April. There's obviously the Plumps one, which is still on Beatport. Backdraft, that hasn't been released yet. And there's a Chris Carter remix of The Way, which I kicked the show off with, which is the version I played, actually, is just a rough version. He's still tweaking it a bit, but I really wanted to play it. I've managed to get him out of retirement. And then some others. There's lots of other tasty remixes. Yeah, a lot of people have come forward and gone, I want to do that. I want to do this, you know. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
Ah, well, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
Excellent. Well, listen, thanks for your time. I really appreciate you chatting to me. And I know it's all a bit weird doing this over Zoom, but I'm really glad we managed to get some time to do this.
Yeah, it's been really good, really good. Let go, electro, the text flow, exploding in your neck, check the best flow. 10 days to engage, the sense raving, brain train, the craft master sensei. I'm on the war path, got a full staff moving through the rain. Watch the forecast, groove pass, all of my folks rock the blowback. Go back, death in the flesh, pull your soul back. Dark days, the stargate, the car base, heart aches, trace the track back in all ways. DJs and MCs, we each blaze, heat waves, master blast, past the end break. Breaking limits for all the cities, we better with words and letters. The army is coming together, bombing, we running like rebels and ghettos. Who in metals will settle, we steady, ready, and headed for war, like Armageddon.
Two times for the grind, I've been throwing in it. Three times for the line, trying to find, baptized, rise, look at the signs.